This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is Michael Kirsch, and the article that he is talking about today, it's a 48-page article, which is available at LaRouchePack.com/AndrewJackson. It's linked on today's schedule page. And my atomic clock has found its bearings, and so now I feel better. It's amazing how dependent one can be on those things. We've often heard that Andrew Jackson referred to the bankers as a den of vipers. But in fact, this oft-used quote came from a privately printed six-page book. There were 310 copies made, called Andrew Jackson and the Bank of the United States, which I mentioned was written in 1928 by Stan V. Henkels, Jr. He claims that his father, in 1883, found the original minutes of the Philadelphia Citizens Committee, a group of men who went to Washington in 1834. Jackson, a typical politician, did not make that statement to these men, according to the official report as printed on March 1st, 1834 in the Niles Weekly Register. A politician's actions are more significant than his words. In 1834, his administration, with his approval, was making a deal with the London Rothschilds. Okay, Michael.
Yeah, well, let me just say, it is very interesting today. People say that Nicholas Biddle worked with the Rothschilds and all that baloney. It was August Belmont who came in and worked with Van Buren, who was the Rothschild banker, who came in 1837, and his banks controlled the country from 1837 to 1860 before Lincoln became president because of what Jackson and Van Buren did. But let me just say, oftentimes people get confused at the Jackson administration because they did so many various things, and people can say, well, you know, he did a few bad things, sure. You know, he committed genocide against the Cherokees and moved all the Indians west. He did this and that. But it was not a bunch of crimes. It was a single intention of removing a set of policies that had been established since with the federal Constitution, the protection not only to every class of citizens, but to manufacturing as a key issue for developing and breaking from the British. Internal improvements, something that had been increasing, and especially since 1816 after the war with Britain, as a way to ensure the development of the West and the sovereignty of the country and the improvement and productivity of the resources of the land. And the Bank of the United States by James Madison, who had dropped any misgiving against the bank and pushed it and got it through. These were not separate systems either. This was one policy called the American system. And John Quincy Adams, who created the State Department during the Monroe administration and pushed him also toward internal improvements, he had this policy. Abraham Lincoln, when he ran for office in 1832, he said, "My policies are short and sweet like an old woman's dance. I'm in favor of high tariffs, internal improvements, and a national bank." And this was the system. And so Jackson's administration was not a set of disconnected crimes. It was an intention to stop the United States from breaking with the British and from dominating the Western Hemisphere and completely breaking the possibility of the British Empire of succeeding. And that's what the policies, and similarly today and back then, the solution was not a separate set of policies. It's one system, the American credit system, or the American system, as you may want to call it.
Right. And it's very interesting, everything that you've said. And people are still finding this difficult to accept because of what they have been indoctrinated to believe. We are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You know that maintaining your health is getting harder than ever. GMO, chemtrails, designer viruses, toxins, and mysterious syndromes make it very difficult to protect yourself and loved ones. So what can you do? How can you fight back and own your health? What if powerful technology existed designed to help you optimize your physical and mental well-being, correct chronic issues, and extend your quality of life? Skeptical? Sure. We were too, but results don't lie. Your body's an energy system, and the future of medicine will use non-toxic bioenergy to rejuvenate your cells with the perfect living energy they're made from. How do we know? Because that future began nearly 100 years ago and lives on today because of powerful results. T8 is a breakthrough technology that's transforming the science of bioenergetic rejuvenation. To learn why over 800 holistic practitioners and people just like you bought T8s over the past 3 years, visit antiaging8.com. That's antiaging, the numeral 8, .com, or call 979-227-2277. 979-227-2277.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Michael Parrish. There were 147 riots during 1835. 109 of them occurred between July and October due to Jackson's refusal to recharter the bank. Citizens were angry because officials now allocated federal funds to Jackson's friends, bank owners who invested in speculative ventures for the potential profits, but possibly at great risk. The Jackson administration, authorized by the Secretary of War, used the military to quash riots in three instances. So this is not good stuff, people. This is bad stuff. And he was not a man of the common people, which is religiously sustained by establishment historians. Jackson and his friends were all very wealthy. Okay, Michael, continue. And we will take some calls at the bottom of the hour at 800-313-9443. I know there's a lot of people who'd like to jump in on this.
Yeah, these were rhetorical speeches. I mean, all the speeches made were, you know, echoed Thomas Hart Benton's original speech. You know, who's Thomas Hart Benton? He's a close friend of John Randolph, you know, pro-British all the way, British East India Company, slavery of the South, rich landowner. These guys, they didn't like the credit provided for the poor people. They didn't like the idea that anybody could rise to an equality with everybody else because the bank provided credit. They wanted the gold and silver. If you've got the money, then you've got the money. If you don't, then you don't. You're not going to rise from your station. That was the mentality of the Southern slave owner. This is the liberty of the slave owner. I'm with my private property, and the rest of the nation can go to hell. And that's what, in Jackson's 1832 speech, he signaled the new administration's policy. He said the government will now become a simple machine, and state sovereignties and free enterprise of our citizens will create improvements, meaning forget the internal improvements of the federal government. And 1833 compromised with the nullifiers and slave owners of the South, the only people who actually opposed the high tariffs. Here they had a huge increased representation in Congress, but they didn't want to pay their share for the nation, and they're the ones who are against protectionism for manufacturing. And throughout 1830s, beginning then, tariffs almost came down to nothing. By the end of the decade, we were shackled once again to Britain. We were dependent on foreign capital, back in debt, and hardly going anywhere with the internal improvements. This was the slave system.
Yes, and of course, then we all became debt slaves rather soon after that. It's also interesting too that the Rothschilds actually made a deal with the Jackson administration. And it is in writing, where there is communication between the London Rothschilds to function as the fiscal agent for the U.S. State Department. And there's letters going back and forth indicating that, according to President Andrew Jackson, that he okayed this affiliation and approved of the Rothschilds to be the fiscal agent.
And it's even just more clear-cut. August Belmont was the lead agent for the Rothschilds, and Aaron Van Buren directly, he came into Van Buren's Democratic Party, and Van Buren handed him the torch. And so the whole party system and corruption of the New York banks that Van Buren had created, August Belmont came over as a young man and then headed up the whole system all the way through the 1860s, and the Rothschild banks took over. The Barings Bank before that it was less influential with the rise of the Rothschilds after the Napoleonic Wars, and the Van Buren crowd was the bank. The bank is sovereignty over the finances. The Federal Reserve is not. So the people who want to compare the two, you've been misguided by this populism of Ron Paul, and it's very intentional by Ron Paul and the Mises Institute. This is the school of Austrian School of Economics. It's not the legacy of the United States. There was a very small handful of people who wanted pure gold money currency. The founders, all of them, the key founders, were for this credit of the bank. The bank was the way to break the shackles of the gold standard of England.
Right.
And that's what they did.
Didn't the colonists have their own script?
Yeah, they had their own script, but the problem was with that is that there wasn't a union. We didn't have a union. We didn't have taxes. So there was no credit behind the currency, and so it depreciated during the war. Until we had the union, the states, and especially those who wanted to push the Articles of Confederation, they were reluctant to act as a unity at all. And John Quincy Adams does a great speech for your listeners to look up. In 1839, he does a speech to the New York Historical Society, the 50th anniversary of the Constitution in 1839, and he reviews the whole history of the from the period between the Declaration of Independence and the formation of the Constitution. And that Constitution, by people like Robert Morris, Gouverneur Morris, Ben Franklin, George Washington, all the Philadelphia crowd, James Wilson, and Hamilton. That was the team that really, Gouverneur Morris and Wilson were the most active people at the convention, aside with Madison. These are the guys who created the federal powers in which the nation could exist, and the federal powers that would make a national currency and a credit system possible.
Right. Getting back to the Rothschilds, Secretary of State John Forsyth sent a letter, or actually received a letter, from the Rothschilds in London, dated September 29, 1834, in which they referred to the Secretary's letter of August 6. And it was a letter of confirmation regarding the services that N.M. Rothschild and Sons were going to perform in behalf of the United States government as the appointment of banker of the United States in Europe. And those services were to begin on January 1st, 1835, and Baring Brothers, as you mentioned, was eliminated, kicked out as a, because they were functioning as the agent for the United States.
And that was crucial. You know, the idea is we can't be sovereign over our money. You know, whoever's got the gold has the money. And by shackling us again to London, London banks and Wall Street, which was rising in power beginning after the crash, which now said, well, we've got the private capital. And they were conveyor belts of Southern cotton, slave owner cotton. And the South was getting credit from Britain. So the South became a colony of England and of the British Empire. And all these Southern, you know, they were basically wanted to be like royalty. And it's no accident. All these Confederate people were going over and marrying, duchesses and people up leading up to the Civil War. And they wanted to actually bring in a prince of the Confederacy. There's a whole other book on that. And we became a de facto colony again to the British by dropping protectionism almost to nothing by the end of the 1840s. And again, we just kind of coasted along toward the Civil War with the actions of Jackson, as John Quincy Adams forecast, with the cotton trade, with a dependent on the gold standard of England, right, and the sub-treasury system. And no credit at all. And the Rothschilds, completely took over. And that's absolutely crucial.
Right. And there's letters. The letters exist, people. I know there are people in the chat room saying, this is absolute nonsense. But the letters are evidence.
Yeah, and August Belmont.
Absolutely. August Belmont.
He ran the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was the party of slavery and the party of Wall Street.
Exactly. And it's the evidence is there, people. It doesn't matter what you believe or what your opinions are or what you have been taught to believe. The evidence is there. The letters are there. The historical documents are there. But how many people actually look into these documents? How many people actually read the letters in the archives? No, they don't. They just believe what the court historians have been telling them.
And John Quincy Adams has been blacked out. And the other thing, the key point, John Quincy Adams and Monroe, they did not want the party system. It was Van Buren's operation to impose this party system on the United States. And what my article really goes through is that it was this party system which came in and just wrecked the country. The tool of the empire was to enforce this parliamentary system, which is the party system on the U.S. We don't need parties. And today, it's very clear, Republican and Democratic parties are both completely useless, and anyone that identifies either of the party lines is incapable of doing anything. We have to return to a nonpartisan team of patriots to pull us out of this mess today.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. We are going to break in about a minute here, but if you would like to call in, make comments, ask questions, you may do that at 800-313-9443. And please do read this document. It is very important, has a lot of very good information, and will help us, help you to understand, help all of us to understand what is going on today. Because as I said, history is prologue. And if you know what happened historically, then you can kind of figure out what's going on. So anyway, we will be right back after a word from our sponsors with our guest today, Michael Kirsch. Be right back.
taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from AirFusionSystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle, from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at AirFusionSystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from AirFusionSystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save Earth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deanna, our guest today is Michael Kirsch, and he wrote the article, How Andrew Jackson Destroyed the United States, and that is linked on today's schedule page, and will also be linked, of course, in the archives. And did you also cover in your article about how Taney was associated with the Cohens of Baltimore, and that he made a deal to have the government fund this private organization so that they could build the B&O Railroad?
I don't have that in my article.
Okay.
I know his relation, the fact that he was a stockholder to the Union Bank of Baltimore made his action was one of the legal violations involved. And yeah, he was also. There was a lot of questions about the solvency of that bank. And so they chose these various banks as, and that was the standard. They chose a bunch of banks. They got to choose who got the money. So all these banks are, you know, prostrating themselves to the administration. The administration suddenly has taken Congress's ability, of directing the funds. I mean, this is the higher crime, which is that it's a usurpation of the whole legislative branch, of making contracts. Which is what now suddenly the executive, which is in charge of gathering the revenues, right, the import duties, the sale of the lands, Congress is supposed to decide how they're appropriated. The executive is just supposed to decide that they are. But now, right. they now the executives taking the legislative power of deciding how they're appropriated. And I don't think to this day we've ever completely restored the sovereignty over the, well, I know we haven't, of the financial system to Congress.
Right. And all of this, a lot of this was done by executive order. And, yeah, it's just amazing how things worked out. And there was also, I mentioned the Cohens in Baltimore, and they had worked for the Rothschilds for years. And on July 20th, 1836, Jacob I. Cohen and Company of Baltimore sent a celebratory unexpected gift to Britain to Nathan M. Rothschild, which was a painting of a uniformed Andrew Jackson during the Bank War. And this was to celebrate the fact that that the Rothschilds were now agents for the United States.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of the Bank of the United States, right. The Bank of the United States was the legislative act in 1791 and again in 1816 to be the regulator of the currency, the agent of all the government funds. People don't understand it today. The government, when the government collected taxes internally and also for foreign duties, all of that money was still available to all the citizens by loans of the bank until the very moment that they were appropriated. And it was a large amount. So it was dispersed throughout the country in these various branches of the bank. And it wasn't that profitable to the bank to have them, in fact, because it was constantly fluctuating. But it was very profitable to the people. And today we should have a third bank of the U.S., which is also would perform that type of function.
Right, without usury.
Yeah, it was lower interest rate than all the Van Buren private New York banks. But I want to make a point on the railroad. I mean, whatever the issue is with the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, that was a project of the same day that the Chesapeake and Ohio Canal started. That was also the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. And the internal improvements groups were pushing these internal improvements. They were financed by the federal government. They weren't financed by the big bankers around the world. They were only financed, the railroads only began to be financed that way after it would be made impossible to finance them by the federal credit. And the state governments and the federal government, the lion's share of all internal improvements, rails and canals and roads, were done by those governments, not private finance. And the myth today is that the big banks, you know, built all the rails. They bought the rails up after they were built and never improved them at all.
Right. Except in this case, like Jacob I. Cohen was the president of the Baltimore-Philadelphia Railroad, and he was the director of the B&O Railroad and the president of the Baltimore Fire Insurance Company. And he was given government money, and it was at this time that these private owners came into being, and they were buying up things that should have been still public property.
Hmm.
That's how I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't. Well, yeah, it would be worth looking more into. I wrote another paper that I referenced in this paper, How Andrew Jackson Destroyed the United States, on the Second Bank of the United States. And one of the very old men, the last remaining survivor of the vault of the Declaration of Independence, and who pursued the Charles Carroll, that's right, and he was also someone pushing the anti-slavery societies. He was the guy who put his shovel in the ground to inaugurate the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad. And this was the Army engineers of JQA and West Point were pursuing that. And they built these rails initially in the late 1820s, along the routes of the canals. And this was the arc between the Declaration of Independence and the last remaining survivor there in 1828 when they kicked that off.
All righty. We are going to a break. We'll be right back, and we'll take your calls at 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Michael Kirsch, and he wrote the article, 48-page article, How Andrew Jackson Destroyed the United States. And let me just read something from the chat room. This guest is saying to put money back into Congress, who are nothing, or should be, who is nothing but thieves and change banks. Wrong solution. The only solution is to let each state print and regulate. Oops, I just lost it. Print and regulate its own money and get the feds out of the whole picture. This guest is doing nothing but parroting LaRouche, who can probably be considered controlled opposition. Your thoughts?
Well, the return of having states run that's unconstitutional. The federal government, Article 1, I think it's Section 10, prohibits the states from emitting bills of credit and such things. The power and the federal government is not prohibited. The federal government is responsible for creating the national currency. And why? Because the issue of credit is the intention of the nation as a whole to develop. And the currency of the nation should be a reflection of the intention of the nation to develop. Money itself has no self-evident value. Now, the listener, is the idea of states printing their own money, the principle of printed money is fine. That's what we should have. We want to have the idea of a currency and the credit system is that the currency is a reflection of the economy to develop. Why did I say Congress? Because Congress has the power to incorporate something like a Bank of the United States, or to enact and push an act like the Tennessee Valley Authority Act, or today the North American Water and Power Alliance Act. The Congress is representatives of the people. Yes, it has become corrupted and very useless right now. What's that?
They are a bunch of thieves and corrupt. They don't actually represent us, and they are in there to line their own pockets.
Yeah, but the
issue is, it didn't start out that way.
Yeah, but the issue is, it didn't start out that way. We become increasingly worthless nation since the assassination of John F. Kennedy. But the problem is not the Congress is a bunch of thieves. The problem is that they're not using their power, and that's my point. They're giving everything over to Wall Street. That's where you should be focusing your rage, not at the Congress. The issue is you have to get the Congress to do what the Congress should do. The Congress has the power to create something, not the Federal Reserve, but to create a national currency that's reflective of the powers of the nation. And only the Congress and the national government has to do that. We should not be thinking about seceding into a bunch of different states. The solution is to return to the Hamiltonian credit system and have the powers of Congress, as I said, not to give Congress a bunch of money. The issue is to give Congress the power to legislate a bank, the People's Bank, which they can benefit from, that can channel all the remaining productivity of the country into building a new generation of manufacturing and large projects and such things, and create a national currency that can do that.
All right. Well, we certainly do need something other than what we have now, because what we have now is just disastrous, and the only people that are benefiting are the people who are serving the bankers, and of course the bankers and all these bailouts, people living on the street, people losing their home. This is a disastrous situation, and it's only getting worse.
And let me just say something about Lyndon LaRouche here. He has been pushing for the reinstatement of Glass-Steagall. Now, the real, if you want to say Lyndon LaRouche is part of the, you know, he's part of the secret elite, and he's, no, look, this is a bunch of baloney. We've been pushing the Homeowners and Bank Protection Act since 2007, and then pushing the Glass-Steagall Act as the way to actually take this Wall Street London financial oligarchy and put these guys, you know, into bankruptcy. Their money is useless. In fact, we can do the same thing. We can say your money is worthless. All your derivatives are worthless. And, you know, the way that Jackson said suddenly, hey, we're not going to accept this money anymore. Look, we can take all these guys and hang them out to dry. And Lyndon LaRouche has been key exposing this. You reference his book, Dope, Inc. The whole international drug trade and running these operations around the world is run through this, you know, these private financial banks. HSBC is now being let off the hook. Just yesterday, they got a big fine instead of being convicted of money laundering. The Glass-Steagall Act that Lyndon LaRouche has been pushing, this is the way to return to regulated banking around the country. Then what you do is you create a national bank that actually you can get a loan from, like the Second Bank of the United States. You could go down and get a loan to build a canal. You can't do that with the Federal Reserve. All they do is create more debt. We go into debt to private banks who then keep using that for speculation. You know, Congress has to take back its power of Article 1, Section 8, and use it fully to actually fulfill their duties to the people.
Right. And certainly they are not doing that, because they are benefiting from their corruption and their complicity with the banks.
And they're afraid of them, because people think it's all about money. And the Wall Street crowd goes into Congress and they lobby and they say, well, you don't understand, you know, I've got a degree in finance and let me tell you how the economy works. And it's really not that mysterious. And that's what this article is trying to show, is that the way in which the economy grew on the greatest leap forward And the way in which the role of credit instead of money, the idea is people get this fixation about money and the free market and everything's just going to work out fine if the government's gone and the free market reigns. Well, that idea of the free market gold and silver was imposed by the British to re-enslave us. And we have to realize the correct role of the relationship between government and the economy was how it functioned under John Quincy Adams, Abraham Lincoln, and under Franklin Roosevelt with the Reconstruction Finance Corporation.
Well, I don't buy that.
We have
differences of opinion about that, and somebody also mentioned Kennedy, that he certainly was not an angel. But he was assassinated, and I don't believe that it was because of money. I believe it was because of his stance against Israel and their nuclear aspirations. But there's just so much corruption and so many things this is a good article that you have created, and certainly does expose Andrew Jackson, and he.
Yeah.
You definitely needed exposure.
And the issue is, you can invite me on again, we can talk about FDR or something, but the issue is, what's the intention of the nation? Do we have a mission? And under these presidents, we move forward, you know, the space program. With Roosevelt, we move forward with the dam projects, the Four Corner projects around the country. Do we have a mission? And Lincoln, you know, he moved us out west and completed John Quincy Adams' vision.
Yeah,
Transcontinental Railroad.
Yeah, but it took 722,000 deaths to do that. I think it could have been done without the Civil War, the so-called Civil War. When you look at the families, too, most of these presidents have come from very, very elite families. FDR was from the banking family. And certainly during the time that he was doing what you said he was doing, the country was in this major depression, and of course you had the crash of 1929, which was all done by the bankers.
And so
you can look back to the crash of 1837, 1893, 1907, 1929. All of these crashes were done by the banks. And it was done to make us more obedient and to change the culture and to change the structure of government and to make us all more indebted. And look at all the laws that have been put in place after each of these crashes and after each of the wars. Look at the big change in government after World War II.
Well, the Constitution was set up to create a set of powers that would actually allow us to succeed in breaking from the British Empire. We were falling into bankruptcy, states by each state having its own sovereignty, not a representation by the people. And Hamilton and as I said before, these other people in Philadelphia that were working directly with Ben Franklin, they set up the best way to create a system was the Bank of the United States, which would allow to have control over the finances and make all the available assets of the country, idle wealth, now available to all the people. All the idle wealth available in the bank.
That's very idealistic, yeah.
And it was then done again in 1816.
Right.
And
okay,
why don't we
take a caller? We've got some callers lining up. Go ahead and finish your comment. I hate to break that.
Oh, I'm just there's a whole arc you can look at of the way in which we were growing as a nation, and it was always this one system, this American system, which has been blacked out today from all the history books. And people think it's either free trade or communism, but there was a different system we had in place.
All righty. Okay, let's take John in Georgia. John, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, something like that. How you doing? What I wanted to do was, I honestly believe that I have the solution to all of this. And I'm going to throw this out there, and you guys can think about it. You can check it out and see if there's any truth to this. I say, first of all, we need to end the corporate state, the corporate courts. Now, I'm speaking from my own personal experience with the corporate courts and all of this. We need to reassert our courts, and we need a change of ownership. And what I mean by that is we, the people, become the new owners. And we can do this, and it's a legal coup is what I've been calling for about 5 years. And so what I'm suggesting is, for instance, as an example, the churches seem to do quite well. They don't have a gun and a badge. They simply is by voluntary contributions to the church. They do some good in the communities, and I'm not speaking in the sense that we should do like the church exactly. I'm just suggesting the churches seem to do quite well. They're only asking for 10%. We take, and we can start this whole movement in the United States by simply limiting the sales tax at 10%. Cap it at 10%. 10% is a phenomenal amount of money when you think about it. We eliminate the IRS. We get rid of the income tax. All of these things that are unconstitutional, in other words, what you'll find in the legal sense is a conflict of interest at every level. Every level of government that exists. It's high crimes and treason. All you got to do is look at these poor kids in some of these other countries like Iraq who wanted to go to the Golden R. You look at Libya. You name it. They have committed crimes against humanity for a very long time, and we have them grossly outnumbered. We change ownership. We, the people, take ownership back. Okay? Nobody has to lose their jobs. We don't have to change anything. When we shut down the Federal Reserve and we go back to this 10% of the states and let the Fed come and beg the states for money when they got some flaky program they want to put in place, this is how it's done. We force their hand. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll bet that these papers that we filed to make it a legal transition will be found in the IRS code. They have got this confiscatory law down to a science, and we can take what they have used on us and flip it and use it on them. And once we start that, there's enough countries around the world that will follow suit, that will come on board probably immediately. Once we have our courts back, we can seek remedy in these corporate courts for all the harm they've caused. But we must take the apparatus. And the main one is all of this electronic processing. What I understand is about $320 billion a day that they skim from all of these transactions globally. That's a lot of money. We have to freeze their assets. We have to seize and freeze their assets. Forget them. They're going to run and hide.
John, let's let Michael respond to your comments.
Well, I think the issue of the people, you know, the people taking it, it's true, but you know, the people
let
Michael respond to your comments, please.
Sure.
Yeah, the people, you know, you look at what we've been talking about today, the people's bank, right? This was the people's bank, not the government bank. And the people have to control the finances of the nation. The nation has to control its own finances. We have been imposed by the system of globalization, which is getting rid of all sovereignty over finance, over our own money. We don't control we can't regulate the currency anymore. We're not allowed to regulate the currency. We're not allowed to impose, develop our own industries. Everything is globalization. And Tony Blair has been pushing this policy, saying we're going to shut down any capability of nation states to have their own currencies. We're going to let them be flooded with foreign currencies, and we're going to shut down the power over, you know.
Okay, now, Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you agree that all the currencies, fiat, whatever you want to call them, you can call them whatever you want, faith-based money, faith-based.
But the issue is, you're right, but the issue is what has to have credit. Credit comes from the intention to develop industry. If you can't make good on something, then you have no credit. I mean, that's really the meaning of the currency. You have to be able to build. You say, well, we're going to complete this bridge. We're going to do this great project. Right now around the country, we need water. We're drying out, this terrible drought. We're shutting down our herds. I've talked to farmers around the country. We're downsizing our herds. Our food security is going out the window. Some people in the farmers union say this. Look, we don't even have enough food on reserve for 3 to 5 weeks if everything is shut down. We can build a flood control system. The intention to complete it is the credibility of a government. If the government can organize and the nation's productive forces, the companies, the tunnel boring machines, the cement companies, the steel factories, the heavy machinery, if all of these forces can look to a government that's actually intending to complete a project, then the money that the government would create or out of something like a national bank would have value.
And it could be Michael, excluded. Can I make a brief comment before you hang up?
We do need to go to a break. We will be right back. Stay tuned.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented complement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Michael Kirsch. He is the author of How Andrew Jackson Destroyed the United States. I hope that everyone will read that document. It's 48 pages long, and he provides some very good information in that document. And we have been certainly indoctrinated by the court historians about what to think, and it's very difficult, I think, for some people to forget what they have learned and accept and be objective and look at new things. And we need to do that. and draw our own conclusions rather than other people's opinions. I believe that John hung up, but Michael, would you like to, we've got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, let me just say, for those listening, this article that you read is not the normal article that you find online. This is based on original sources. The articles that I write, I review all of the original materials, because you have to, if you want to know what the truth is, you actually have to know that there is something that's true, there is something that's false, and you can't just run around as most people do today and just peel stuff off of Wikipedia and online. And that's why everybody is continuing to circulate and repeat these slanders about the Bank of the United States and comparing it with Ron Paul's slogans and so forth. This document has the original 1834, 1835, 1833 speeches of John Quincy Adams, how he takes apart all of this. Thomas McKenney, most people have never heard of him. He wrote a whole book on the spirit of Jacksonism. All of the original quotes from Van Buren, Nicholas Biddle's papers, and what these guys were actually doing. The whole thing is based on the real documents that you're going to find, and it's something you haven't seen this. Most of this stuff has been buried for almost 200 years. And so I would really challenge people to read through this. And it's also based on some work that Tony Chaykin, a different historian, has pulled on the treason of Aaron Burr and that whole network in making Jackson become the president. And most people have no idea about that also. And then the crash and all of the original documents of the people themselves, enormous amount went into creating this report. And it's something that we can hopefully break Congress from the axioms of fixating on just cutting the budget. That is an axiom that came from Van Buren. The way that Van Buren dealt with the crash was to mock the people and say the only thing now is to pay your debts, and took away Congress's ability to create credit for the people and for projects and things.
Right. I mean, just look what is happening now. The people are expected to work less hours. And it's the people that are being hurt. It isn't Congress. I mean, Congress doesn't even have to accept Obamacare, but it's the people. It's all about hurting the people, hurting the citizens, and we're supposed to have a voice in government. We have no voice at all, and that was certainly set up decades and decades ago. Well, 200 years ago.
I'd like to invite people. You call 1-800-929-7566. That's 1-800-929-7566 if you want to order a copy of my report or to get more information about it.
Right. And it's also available online. And that link is posted in the archives. So thank you so very much, Michael, for being on the program today and presenting this information.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for having me, Deanna. And I'd be interested in answering anybody else's questions.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.